all, and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
What's up?
All right, guys, we're back. Plenty to talk about this week. Very clip-laden episode. We have not one, I think three clips, so or four. Four, actually.
Four clips in total.
Oh, there you go. It's gonna be a good time. So let's get right into it. GOP decides that it's going to declare the January 6th was the January 6th attack was, quote, a legitimate political discourse. Disaster. So the RNC is run by a coward. And I don't say that lightly. I say that very seriously. Ronna McDaniel. It's actually Ronna McDaniel.
Now it's Ronna McDaniel. Used to be Ronna Romney McDaniel, but she's so cool that she literally stopped using her given surname because it angered the former Fuhrer. I mean, president.
Yeah, they demanded that she stop saying Romney because it's a part of her name. Mm-hmm. Like, and she did it.
And yeah, she was like, cool, no problem.
Cool,
Mr.
fuck my entire family. What? Dude, don't.
Can you imagine that, by the way? Like, can you
imagine? Yo, that's insane.
I'm just not going to use part of my name because it pisses this one guy off and I don't want to be on his bad side. So I'm just going to shun my identity.
I'd be like, no. And I'm head of the RNC. You can't fire me. No, I'm not going to do that. Look, I'm on board for your crazy plans or whatever, but I'm not going to change my name publicly.
A person in their party, by the way. Right. Like, it's not like this is some Democrat that they're just like, oh, like, you got to disown. Like, no, it's Mitt Romney. It's the guy that used to be the Republican nominee for president.
I'm surprised that John Kennedy is allowed to use his last name as a Republican. I was surprised they were like, change it. Like, but I'm not. Change it! We don't even go to Massachusetts ever. Like, you're not allowed to go. Like, but I'm not in that family. Doesn't matter. So yeah, the GOP decides to refer to this now. Like, this is not like an off the cuff thing. They, like, as an organization, said this, like, let's write this down.
Yeah.
That we are going to refer to January 6th attack as a legitimate political discourse. Now, of course, reasonable people were like, the fuck are you talking about? It was a coup attempt.
And then the best part is that Ronna McDaniel later came out and was like, we are being totally taken out of context and misquoted in the media. We did not say that January 6th was a legitimate political discourse, except in this line here where it says that January 6th was a legitimate political discourse. Like, it's literally on the paper. Yeah. Like that phrase. Like, it's not like we're contorting anything. It's literally right there.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
And so along coming out and saying that, the RNC actually, they did a voice vote to censure Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger, like, recently. What are you doing? What are you doing? So... one of their big, like, walkbacks, besides saying, hey, we didn't say that, then people are like, it's right on the piece of paper. They're like, all right, we said
literally,
it.
Literally right at the bottom of the page. It's right, right there.
But they're like, all right, you got us. You read it more than we normally do. You got us.
We didn't think you would.
Yeah, basically, right? We didn't think you'd double check. We didn't. What's due diligence? So not only did they get busted for that, but now they're saying, well, we're not saying the people who broke into the building and like did the actual riot, you know, all the like things that when we talk about January 6th, that's what we're talking about. Not only are they not, they say they're not referring to those people, but they're referring to the people who were like the fake electors and stuff like that. That's who they're talking about. They're not talking about the people who broke into the Capitol. So it's like, you're trading. No, not the violent people who were doing the coup. No, we're talking about the people who were doing fraud. Like, those people were doing legitimate, legal political discourse. Those are the people we're standing up for. Okay, both are still pretty bad. I don't know what you're doing. And the fact of the matter is, in their actual writing, it did not distinguish that there was a difference.
Not even a little bit.
All of it was
like it's just in their black way. And that just goes to show you like how stupid that they actually are, like, because they're so accustomed to gaslighting mm-hmm. their own followers and not paying any price, and their own followers is like, nah, they're like, yep, that's what they meant. Clearly it's what they meant. Like, they're, and but now they're trying to gaslight to like everybody, and we're just like, guys, it's right there. Like, you literally said this. So that's not what we said. No, you did. We're reading it. It's literally reading. It's right there.
We
it. This is what we were talking about. Clearly, that's what we were talking about. I'm like, it's not very clear. That's what you were talking about at all.
At all. I'm amazed that people think that this is a reasonable party to vote for. Like, I just find it amazing. The people are like, yeah, no, these are the guys. No, this is the team. I'm like, all right, yeah. Cool. Go fuck yourselves.
Meanwhile, half the Republicans in the Senate are like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like the Republican House is entirely on board for this. And the Senate is like, this is insane. Like even like Mitt Romney's like, I texted my niece after this came out and basically was like, what are you doing? You fucking idiot. You dummy.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it is a terrible idea because, look, and to your point about the Senate, you know, Mitch McConnell comes out, as I wrote, Mitch McConnell, our sweet summer child. So naive to think
that... The old crow.
Yeah, I saw that. I fucking saw that. I'm just going to leave that out. Like, convenient. More on that later. But yeah, you know, The Daily Beast has this headline. Sorry, Mitch McConnell. Frankenstein's a monster runs the GOP now. That's correct, right? Like, yeah. you trying to put this back in its box is like, this isn't going to work for you. And look, McConnell is a very smart guy. This is actually beyond him, because McConnell is used to working with people who are can be moved and can be manipulated, but also he's used to working on like an angle of intelligence. Right. Whatever you think of Mitch McConnell, he's a piece of shit. Like, he is. And the day he retires from the Senate will be a great day for democracy, in my opinion. However,
guys, sorry.
whether he retires or nature retires him, however you want to get there, I don't really give a shit. Whichever comes first. I honestly do not give a fuck. But my thing is, remember he had that black, he's like that like dying
the black hand.
Yeah, he had the black hand. I'm like, he's dying, right? Like, this is it. Like, he's got some sort of Harry Potter curse.
It was Sith corruption, man. Like, he was about to get that Emperor Palpatine fucking look going on.
I mean, he's kind of already there.
Like,
I mean,
Mitch McConnell would be the guy that has like a Mitch McConnell clone factory, so that when Mitch McConnell dies, like, there's Mitch McConnell clones that are willing, that are able to step in. Yeah. Using like the dark side of the force in order to,
yes,
you know, gerrymander Republican states as hard as possible.
Yes, <that's>, he's like, strike me down and I will only become stronger. God damn it. This fucking guy, I swear, it's unbeatable. But you know, he is always used to running on a line of intelligence, like, he is, right? And he's very smart, he's very manipulative, and that's how he's done what he's been able to do. So whatever you think of Mitch McConnell, like, personally, I think he's a garbage human being and terrible for democracy. He is incredibly smart and politically savvy. Like, he just is. But where he is put now is he is put in a position that Boehner was put in. Now, Boehner was nowhere near as politically savvy as McConnell is, but Boehner was put in a position of running the House, and all of the maniacs were in charge. And he simply could not move them because they were maniacs. And that is where Mitch McConnell finds himself. Now, the Senate GOP is not a bunch of maniacs, but the problem is all of the mania is in the entire party. It's everywhere. Yeah. Like, it's in your voters. It's in the House. It's in some of the Senate too, but not nearly.
To be clear, the Senate is like half maniacs. Like,
yeah, it is. It is. Like, that's half, absolutely like true. Right. That's absolutely true. But even the maniacs in the Senate can still be slightly moved. But the problem is that ability is dying fast. Right. Like, yeah. As Trump has sort of solidified his power. So, you know, McConnell came out and was like, yo, what are you doing, RNC? Like, the fuck? And, like, he's basically like, listen, you know, I'm trying to find, like, his lines here. It's like, no, this was an insurrection. Stop saying this is, like, legitimate political discourse. It's not.
Yeah, he's this like, was he's an insurrection. Like, we were, like we were here. Like we were in the building. We all were there. We remember it.
Right. Like it's not, I saw this shit. I was running. Like I picked up my shell and like got the fuck out of there. Right? I got in a golf cart and got out of there. Like
tried to spin his way out the back door.
You got him right. So like this idea of like if McConnell is telling you, if McConnell is being open in saying this type of stuff publicly, what that tells me is McConnell is concerned about one thing and one thing only. Power, which is McConnell is worried about this type of shit is going to affect the midterms. And that is his number one goal right now is to like, what is the next thing? What's the next angle? The next angle for the Republican Party is to take the House, take the Senate, take both if they can, one if they can only grab one. If you're out there saying, hey man, the shit that happened on January 6th, not a big deal. It's totally legal political discourse. People look and go, oh, the Republican Party is crazy. Fuck them. Like, no. And so his response is of legitimate political concern, right? But the problem is, like you said, 50% of the Senate is crazies and all of the House is crazy. So,
well, here's the other problem too, is fine. That a lot of voters, and I'm not just saying Republican voters, a lot of voters in this country are far more concerned about their day-to-day lives and like the minutiae that goes along with that, like quote unquote kitchen table voting issues, and are not even really thinking about the fact that the formerly sitting president literally tried to initiate a coup to retain power in this country.
That's valid,
which is insane to me. Like again,
it's pretty insane.
Everyone is aware of history. Everyone learned about what happened, what's happened in a lot of authoritarian governments in the 20th century. Like, this is literally the beginning of the we're still in act one of the fall to American authoritarianism. And there's a lot of people who are like, well, gas prices are crazy right now. Like, it's $3.20 to fill up. Like, that's insane. Like, bigger picture, please. Like, for Christ's sake. Like,
I'm not one of those people. I'm not one of those people.
Like we're in danger. We're fucking in danger of potentially losing everything. Our freedoms to vote or your vote mattering. And you're just like, yeah, but gas is really expensive right now.
I mean, it is, but like not as important as democracy dying. Like it's not. And I feel like Americans have this way about them that assuming that how it's been is how it's always going to be.
Yes.
And that's not necessarily true. It's not.
Well, and as the old adage goes, and I'm not using hard statistics here, but the reason that Hitler was able to rise to power and Germany was able to do like the most pugnant, ridiculous shit without any pushback from German citizenry is when he came up, you had a third of the people in Germany supported him, a third of the people in Germany opposed him, and a third of the people in Germany just didn't really care that much. They were just worried about the train running on time, and so they didn't push back against the looming genocide that was coming on their country. Yep. So.
And then by the time the ball got rolling and everything was already like in place, it was like, hey, if your neighbors aren't cool with us, dime them out. And so people stopped saying shit because they didn't want to get shot. So I get it. I mean, it doesn't make it right, but I can understand that level of self-preservation. Right. So, when you have people stuck like that, then people don't say shit. And then they just let the fucking tanks roll by and pick up fucking citizens and shoot other people if they're other, in that case, Jews or and other folks like that. So it's a dangerous thing to think that it will always be like it is now or how it was, right? I mean, for the most part, life hasn't really super changed for people. Like it just hasn't, right? Like it hasn't really changed for me. I'm not like pretending it has for me. Like it's largely still the same. But I am paying attention to the fucking massive red flashing lights that are coming down the street, and that's not good. It's like there's a story we'll talk about in Florida, which kind of ties into this, right? Like we are now seeing a bunch of states doing this like, let's not talk about critical race theory. Let's get rid of books.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't mention gay people now. Like, that's a roll to authoritarianism, dude. Like, it's not just,
well,
backwards hillbilly states. Like, Florida's a big fucking state, man. Like, it's a big state. And if Florida goes, a lot of other states that are smaller in its proximity will also go that way.
Well, and, so and that's the thing is that the problem, you know, the GOP is always going to find a hobby horse to fucking rail against.
Yep.
And so, like, for a long time, it's been Roe, right? It's been Roe's been the thing that they fucking knocked up against. Well, now it looks like they might have a shot to topple Roe at this with the things that they have with SCOTUS. So what's going to happen when they topple Roe? They're like, oh, cool. We finally fucking tore that statue down. What's next? What if we decide to go after Obergefeller? Oh, shit. Like now we're fucking reverting backwards because, again, that's what regressives do is they, you know, they seek to undo what was done previously.
Yep.
So.
And look, again, I mean, we said this in 2016. Like, I don't know why people were just like, whatever, Trump won. Like, Supreme Court is in fucking peril, my man. Like, and look where we are.
Yeah.
Like, here's the worst dude we told you ever. Like, yeah, what the fuck did you think was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen? You thought they were going to rest in their laurels when they had the opportunity? No way. They're not fucking around. This ain't no Saturday morning cartoon. The bad guys don't get all the way to the edge and then lose. No, sometimes they fucking get to the edge and then win. And yeah. You go, oh, shit, really? Yeah. And then we'll be talking in a year about how there's a big Supreme Court case that's going to reverse gay marriage.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, like,
Trump's gone. News.
Yeah, Trump's gone, but unfortunately, like, his Supreme Court picks, that of which he got three in 4 years, get to be there until they fucking croak, basically.
Right. So, like, what happens? Like, what happens? Dude, here's a little inside dope for people listening. This is a super fucking wild thing that happened, right? Elections really do matter. Virginia just got their new governor, right? This fucking right-wing asshole. I can't remember his name.
Glenn Youngkin.
Glenn Youngkin. Thank you.
Yes.
Do you know that in the state of Virginia, he banned any college or any state-funded institution, right? That so they can actually, like, if it's partially state-funded, they have a say, right? Like, that's just the way the government works. Anywhere, by the way. Youngkin said that any position that has the word critical in the title can no longer exist. That was a law they passed. My wife knows a person who works in education who her position has the word critical in it. They had to literally change her title so she wouldn't lose her job. Because critical race theory, it didn't have critical race theory in the title. It had the word critical in the title. That was enough. These are the people that you let into office by just sitting going, they're all the same, guys. Who knows? Maybe I don't even vote. All right, cool. So when they reverse like all guy. Of that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't seem like a Trump guy. I'm like, are you paying attention? What the fuck? So like this idea of just like not giving a fuck. That's the most insane thing I've ever heard. That's like when Trump got into office, he was like, we'll pass a regulation, but you have to tear up two regulations. What kind of fucking Mickey Mouse bullshit is that? That doesn't even make any sense. It's not based on anything. It's just based on quantity. Like, we can't have more regulations. All right, cool. Are you a child?
And to go back to SCOTUS, like, they just had basically put a stay on a lower court ruling this week where the Alabama Supreme Court in Alabama was like, hey, this map that you guys voted on, this congressional map, it's racist.
Yeah, Alabama.
Alabama Supreme Court was like,
even they were like, relax.
This is a little extreme. And so they said, no, you got to do a new one. It got appealed to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decided to stay that ruling pending a potential hearing. You'll never guess what the vote count was in that case.
I don't know, Brad. 6-3?
No, 5-4, because even John Roberts is powerless to stop fuckery from happening on his court. And to read Brett Kavanaugh's opinion, it was basically all, you know, his opinion can be summed up as all gerrymanders can be legal as long as we agree with what they're doing, essentially. Like there's no real rhyme or reason to it. Just like, ah, if we think it's cool, we'll let it rock. If we think it's going to help Democrats, we're going to knock it down.
So fucking
so that's super cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Butter emails, I guess.
Well, except for when it's about someone else's tearing up emails and shit, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Literally, but his emails, never a thing.
literally with a burn box violating the Presidential Records Act.
Literally eating documents like a fucking moron. No word from the GOP. Cool, bro. Cool.
It's almost like the whole butter emails thing was an argument made in completely bad faith, Jay.
Well, I hear there's a podcast for that.
but we should pardon Donald Trump, Jay.
Yes, we should.
That coming.
You know what? You know what? I was getting ready to play a clip. Let's go back. Hold on. Yo, James Comey is a piece of shit. You know, James Comey is a piece of shit. Joe Biden should really think about pardoning Donald Trump.
Yeah.
What?
As I said on Twitter in the wake of that clip, there is a real argument to be made that if Richard Nixon had been held accountable for what Richard Nixon did back in the 1970s,
that is
cool. You might not have gotten a Donald Trump in 2016 or ever, really. If future presidents would look back and be like, oh, there's consequences for doing illegal shit, then perhaps you don't get presidents trying to do legal shit. You might not have gotten Iran-Contra in the 80s.
No,
had Richard Nixon been held accountable.
I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you. But again, I will always, forever and always, Brad, I will always hold a certain part in my back pocket, which is, yes, Richard Nixon should have been prosecuted to the full extent of the law, but it does not begin with him. It begins far, far before him, and it begins with not prosecuting those fuckers after the Civil War. It does. Everything about America and that misuse of political power to actually hold people accountable, not poor people, but people of power, people of wealth, and people of recognition, right? Because those generals and shit were people of recognition and of high-class name. If those motherfuckers would have swung back then, this country would be a different place. Because it'd been like, yo, there are consequences and repercussions for even those people. But when the second they didn't do that, it set up a domino effect all the way through the history of this country to the modern day of never holding powerful white men who do damage to democracy of all things. Mm-hmm. They don't hold them accountable. They don't.
Yep.
So you're right. But I think it starts even before that.
And again, James Comey can shut the fuck up forever. Honestly, like until
he's
until he's willing to acknowledge his part.
Mm-hmm.
In bringing about Trump in the first place, then I really don't need to hear fuck all from that lurch looking motherfucker. I really don't.
Yeah, like you're not wrong. I mean, it's like, dude, you do know that you are a big reason that people at the last minute were like, I'm not voting for either one of these fucking.
You're not the reason, but you definitely didn't fucking help. I'll put it to you.
No, you didn't. Also, you broke the rules, dude. You broke the rules.
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna break the rules evenly. Don't break the rules and be like, yeah, all right, we're investigating Hillary. Fucking be like, yo, and we're investigating Trump. Just say that. Like, that's the thing, is if you had just said that, then I wouldn't have a problem with it. But you gave an uneven-handed bullshit. Like Trump's thing was far worse. It was far worse that you thought they might be colluding with a foreign nation.
And all because he made a bad read. Like, that's the only reason that happened the way that it did is because he made a bad read on the situation because he thought, surely there's no way in fucking hell this country's actually going to vote for this asshole. So we don't want to look like that we, the FBI, were hiding anything.
Yeah.
And turns out you did.
Yeah, you fucked it.
for all the wrong reasons, you dumb fuck.
Yeah, you fucked it. All right, let's get to this next clip. So this week, Mike Pence grew a pair of balls, but he grew a pair of balls, but yeah, like kind of like one fell off like in the middle of the speech, which is wild. So we're going to play this clip of Mike Pence, and I find it to be humorous. We'll play our little game of like start and stop as we need to.
I haven't heard this whole clip, by the way. I've only heard like the line that was making the headlines.
Yeah, I've only seen just past that, so I'm interested to see all of Mike Pence's bullshit.
There are those in our party who believe that as the presiding officer over the joint session of Congress, that I possess unilateral authority to reject Electoral College votes. And I heard this week that President Trump said I had the right to overturn the election. But President Trump is wrong. I had no right to overturn the election.
Oh, damn. There you go. Standing up to Trump straight to his face at the Federalist Society of all places, the most conservative place ever. Yeah, he's wrong. Hold on a second.
The presidency belongs to the American people and the American people alone. And
except for minorities voting in urban cities. Not really interested in that shit.
Frankly, there is no idea more un-American than the notion that any one person could choose the American president. Under the Constitution, I had no right to change the outcome of our election. And Kamala Harris will have no right to overturn the election when we beat them in 2024.
He thinks that Trump is going to keep him on as vice president? This is my biggest issue with this clip. What? He can't be serious.
I think he means we the Republican Party. I don't think.
No, I think he thinks he's running again. I think he's going, right?
He can't be that delusional. Plus, doesn't he have like anti-mutant legislation that he needs to get to passing for at this point?
Look at that. Look at him. He's a freak. Senator Kelly.
Pause right there. I know that all you heard there was applause, but if you're not watching this on video, Mike Pence had a nice little look on his face during the applause. He's like, yeah,
give it up.
You still got it. Maybe mother will give it up tonight. Listen to this applause for old Michael.
Don't do it, mother. Don't do it. Or do. I don't know. You guys are gross. Both of you are just gross.
Look, I understand the disappointment many feel about the last election. I was on the ballot.
And then they tried to kill me.
But whatever the future holds, I know we did our duty that day. John Quincy Adams reminds us, duty is ours. Results are God's. And the truth is, there's more at stake than our party or political fortunes. Men and women, if we lose faith in the Constitution, we won't just lose elections. We'll lose our country.
All right, Mike.
Is correct. The fact that he thinks that the Republican Party is able to save us from that fate is insane to me.
Dude, you're the one destroying it.
Yeah.
What are you even talking about? I just find that interesting. Like, he doesn't really believe that Trump is going to pick him, right? He can't believe that. He can't.
Frankly, I'm shocked that he got picked to begin with. Like,
No, that made sense.
No, Trump didn't, because it's
Trump didn't have the evangelicals at the time. He needed a mega religious person. Yeah, he did.
But Mike Pence was not, like, his stock was not high in 2016. Because remember, he was just coming off of being the fucking anti-gay governor.
He was getting ready to get run out. Right, he was going to lose that election.
Or the anti-trans governor in Indiana. His stock was at an all-time low. So, like, the fact that it was him that got picked was crazy. Like, I would have assumed that Trump would have gone for, like, a Mike Huckabee or something, you know, someone insane like that.
Right, but the difference is, I think, this is just my guess, is picking someone like Pence, you never have to worry about Pence like having larger ambitions than the position, right? You got to remember, Trump is like a super insecure guy. He's not going to pick somebody who's like dynamic. Look, I think Mike Huckabee is a fucking dork and like, his stupid dad jokes or whatever. But remember, he was like, he ran for president and made like a decent run of it. Like Trump not trying to have somebody who's made a decent run of it. Like, nah, fuck that.
Well, I guess you're right. He really was not going to pick anyone that was up on that RNC stage the primary at any point.
No way.
At any point.
Like you said, at any point ever has been, right?
Yeah, he wants a Republican. That's a fair point.
Right. And like Pence is at an all-time low with people whose brains work, but in the Republican Party, they like Pence, right? He's like, he's a man of God and yada, yada, yada. He looks like fucking Ray's Bannon. Like, yeah, he was, that was their guy, right? Like that guy like hates gays, probably is like really hates himself. So they're like, yeah, this is our guy. And so Trump was like, I don't know, who's the lamest motherfucker I could pick that these fucking wackadoo Christians love? Mike Pence. But I don't think Trump doesn't need him anymore. He doesn't need a mega Christian to run alongside to get the evangelical vote because they're all in the cult now. So they're all for it. My guess is he picks someone. He can't pick someone like DeSantis because DeSantis.
It's going to be Nikki Haley. Probably.
You think so?
Dude, she is fucking cucking all over the place for him right now. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that makes sense, right? Because that's a classic Republican thing, though. But that's a classic Republican thing, right? Like,
right. She Democrats have a
woman.
Knocking,
we need a woman.
Knocking what Mike Pence said. Like she was on TV knocking what he said. Yeah.
Like, nah, dude. Like, he legitimately didn't have the power to do that. Like, that's shit's
not acceptable. And she does not have the swagger or the charisma or the sway to overshadow him or to like you said, to have the ambition to exceed him. She might have the ambition, but she doesn't have the talent.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty good choice. Nikki Haley's a pretty good choice because then they can
and
say
she's a woman.
She's like, and that's what they do, right? That's why the Republican Party thought that they could beat Obama. That's why Herman Cain got pushed up, right? That's why that's why they replace Thurgood Marshall with Thomas, right? Like they just do a tit for tat type of thing. They don't actually do it because they believe in it. Like he would never pick Nikki Haley if Kamala Harris wasn't on the on the ballot. No, they're like woman, like as if it's going to be like a physical fight or something. Like it's really weird. Like they do shit like that. I think Nikki Haley's probably that's probably a good guess. I would say you're probably right about that. Mike Pence standing up to Trump and then being like, and then we're going to beat him in 2024. Okay. Like,
I do like how like the GOP's stance for, or the reason for like kind of tacitly supporting like the Electoral Count Act that's working its way through Congress right now is because, well, we don't want to let Kamala Harris, you know, overturn the election. Like she most definitely would. In the event that we were to win, like she would surely do that because Joe Biden would ask her to, I'm sure.
Like, no, dude, she wouldn't do that. Like, that's stupid. Also, like Democrats read the laws. Like they're not going to be like, oh yeah, okay. Now, the reason why obviously that they're saying that is because they're going to try some fucking bullshit. And they want to put like, and look, that's a solid move, right? It's a solid crafty move is to be like, well, you better not change it because, you know, and say it was cheating because we're definitely going to fucking cheat. And now you can't do anything like you're stuck. Yeah. Right. So you just have to beat them outright.
Well, apparently part of the legislation that, and this is where the sticking point is, obviously, and you'll understand why once you hear it, apparently like the part about like the vice president not being able to, you know, change anything, like everyone's on board for that. Democrats want to put in the bill that states also cannot submit new sets of electors after election day. And that's where the Republicans are. That's where the sticking point is, because of course it fucking is, because they want to be able to, if they need to just, you know, come up with a fucking hackney state, you know, slate of electors to vote for the other guy. They want to be able to do that on the sly. Right.
And they shouldn't be allowed to.
So, no, not why, at all.
It's election day. You've already picked your electors. Why do you need another set of electors? They don't count the votes. They're just chosen as the people to represent the votes. So What's the reason?
And this is why, like, I understand why elections are in the hands of the states, because the vast majority of things that you're voting for are for state representation. For the presidential election, the federal government should be in charge of how the election for president works. Yeah. It's like I guess you have to work it in with the states because you have to partner with them, because obviously you're not going to have two election days, because that would be kind of wild. But it's insane to me that the states are able to be like, no, this is how we're going to pick the president of the country. Like, it's going to be different.
Yeah, it from should
state
be both
state. Like, that's fucking insane.
Yeah, like,
no, like we're like we are either a country or we are not. Like we are either a unified right. collection of states or we are not.
Right. I mean, because the argument for decades is the reason, like, it's hard to hack an election because of the sort of like security by obscurity kind of thing, because every state is different. Like, there's no national database. There's no, all of these things are like all over the place. So it's impossible to get through all 50 states. Well, they prove that you can use social media to, you know, like, social engineer an election.
Well, not only right. that, but like,
if that's the case, then we need to stop doing this then. And we need to have it federalized. Like,
well, and the other problem is that system works great, assuming that all 50 states, you know, throw equal weight into the election, but the election comes down to the whims of five states every time. Right. So like, it's not like that, you know, like, oh, every state doing a different thing is going to be great. Well, no, because we already know how the outcome is going to be for 44 of the states. We only really care about what's going to happen in these six where it's going to be super close. And that's what's going to decide who wins and who loses.
Yeah. Well, it's almost as if, Brad, we should get away from the Electoral College.
Oh, shocking. I know. I can't imagine that. Imagine someone, like, there's so many fucking things in the American, like, selection process that if it didn't exist and someone's like, you know what we should do? and like, they threw the Electoral College out as an idea at you, you'd look at them like they're fucking crazy.
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you making this complicated?
Yeah, but it helps represent one vote. Well, it helps to represent smaller states to give them more outsized power over where more people live. How does that make sense? Well, it wouldn't be fair for those people who live in the small states to have to live under the rule of the majority of people in the United States, how they vote. What? Like, that's how every election is. Why does it work for governor and it doesn't work for president? It's a stupid argument. You want to see how dumb Republicans are? Like, truly dumb? Have a debate with somebody who thinks that the Electoral College should stay around. Their arguments make no sense. None of them ever make sense. It's just like, well, then New York will be the ones who choose who's president. But not everyone who lives in New York is a Democrat. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, that's not how it works. Like,
well, then no president will ever visit Oklahoma. No presidential candidate does visit Oklahoma. Like, that doesn't go there now.
The fuck? When's the last time a Republican really went to California? For what? Hey, guys, I'm going to have a dinner with the big Republican stars of California. I don't know. Who is it? Tim Allen and... Tim Allen. I don't know. Like, no, Democrats go to California because that's where the money is. Like, come on, dude. Like, and Democrats aren't running to fucking Kentucky either. No, it's stupid. It doesn't make sense. The system is bullshit. And spoiler alert, much like every other terrible thing from this country.
Ties back to slavery.
Ties back to fucking slavery. Like, dude, what the fuck?
It's right there.
Look, Kenya Barris has a show called Black as Fuck on Netflix. Every episode's called Because Slavery.
Like, I mean, it's true though. Every longstanding institution in this country that's been around since the beginning is literally because slavery. Why is the Senate so powerful? Because slavery. Why does the Electoral College exist? Because slavery.
Right. Like, I don't know what to tell white people, man. Like, figure it out. Let's just figure it out. God damn, shit's not hard. Yikes. Trump destroyed tons of government documents, Brad. Tons. And for some reason, the people who were really, really mad at Hillary for her server are totally quiet about Trump and him literally, quite literally, eating documents that he didn't want to be stored. What say you, Brad? Is it okay for the president to eat secret documents? Are you taking that stance?
Again, it's literally against the law.
Yes, it is. Will he be investigated?
To the point where the National Archives literally had to go down to Florida and be like, go down to Mar-a-Lago and be like, so, like, you got those boxes of documents or what? Because you're not the president anymore, and we need that shit.
Just like, he's like, yes, I do, and I guess you can have them. Like,
and no one cares. Like that. Like that's the thing that's killing me. No one cares. Like Fox obviously is not talking about it. Even like liberal media is not talking about it. Like you don't see this shit on like this is fucking happening. And then meanwhile, like the big clip on Morning Joe going around, they had a fucking panel of five people talking about like this guy got, you know, arrested for shoplifting like fucking turkeys or steaks from a supermarket or something like that.
I mean, that's like a big deal.
Like here's fucking you know Joe Scarborough with Al Sharpton in like the Fox box and everything. I'm like, oh, we got to talk about shoplifting. Now I'm pretty sure like the former president blatantly violating the Presidential Records Act might be a bigger deal than a dude, you know, caught shoplifting 10 steaks from a Costco or something. Like what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, you'd think that was most important. But like this is the number one problem, right? Is Bannon was right. You flood the zone with shit, man. Like you just throw out so many crimes and so much bullshit that eventually people just stop caring, including the government, by the way, which is weird. Yeah. But what I would say is part of that is they don't care because it's a Republican. This country and our media.
Well, it's the expected behavior, right? Like they're held to the lower standard.
They always are. Hillary Clinton, 24/7, illegal server deleting data. Trump eating paper so that it wouldn't go into the national records. Literally not putting things in burn bags and taking things out of the White House. All this shit. Totally fine. I don't know what Republicans think about this, but their lack of talking about it gives me an idea of what they think, which is they don't really give a shit. And they don't really give a shit about the rules when it applies to their people. They only care about the rules in like really bad faith ways when it applies to Democrats.
Yeah.
And the media is the same way. I will never understand why people think the media is liberal. It's not. It's not, dude.
The media is confrontational. That's their only thing is that they just want to make sure that it kind of ties back like they were I was listening to PSA this week and they were talking about the Joe Rogan thing, but they weren't talking about like, oh, Joe Rogan's a fucking crazy person. They were just talking about how big of a media, like the failing it is of the mainstream media, that a guy like Joe Rogan is able to rise to the level of prominence that Joe Rogan is because of people's natural distrust for the mainstream media, because of how the mainstream media fucking frames everything, is that they're not the trusted source of information anymore. So people go to seek out alternative forms of information.
Right.
And that's how they end up with a fucking guy that, you know, is always, quote, just asking questions and dropping N-bombs all over the place.
Right. Look, nothing is funnier than his apology, by the way. Nothing to me is funnier. Hey, I said that word. I shouldn't have said it. It was fucked up. My bad. It's really unacceptable. Okay. And it was all taken out of context. All of it's taken out of context. Of course, Joe. It was all taken out of context.
Unless you're directly quoting something, I don't understand how that word can be taken out of context. And even then,
like I'm like me personally, I am not so like, I'm not a person who is so rigid in the use of that word. I don't want white people using the word like, hey, can I say it? Like, no, fucking don't do that. Like you got a million other words. Look, Look, give black people this. All right, you got good credit scores. Give us this. God damn, just relax. You don't have to have everything.
But I mean, as the representative of the white delegation, I just like in the historical context for which white people use that word, I just don't think it's our word to use. Like, if it's coming out of our mouth, it means something different than it does when it's coming out of the mouth of a black person.
100%, right? And I will say this. There are times that I would say that it is not okay, but I would say it's acceptable. I think if you're in an academic situation and you are talking about, you're like, listen, you're having an academic conversation, not a bunch of jackass morons on a fucking podcast. It's not an academic situation, right? Where like the N word is the, it's you're saying the word, right? You're just making like the Louis C.K. thing. Not that I want to bring him up, but it's just like when you say the N word, you're just making me say it in my head. I know what you're saying, right? So like if you're having an academic conversation about racism and bigotry and stuff like that, that's one thing. And that should be that's a very specific type of conversation. And it is that is not an academic conversation happening on a podcast. I mean, in an actual academic environment, that's different, right? Where some people are like, I'm not that rigid. I'm not a child. I can understand that context, right? That's fine. And then there's one David Cross joke that I think is funny that he says it, right? Where he's basically, what's the guy, Trent Lott, right? Trent Lott used to be senator from Mississippi. Senate Majority Leader from Mississippi, right? David Cross has this fucking hilarious joke where he talks about Trent Lott when he went, when he spoke at, what the fuck is that piece of shit's funeral, who fathered a black child, but he was Strom Thurmond.
Oh, Strom Thurmond, yeah.
Right. Like, Trent Lott, like, spoke at Strom Thurmond's funeral, and he's like, you know, he is a good man, you know, Congress could use more people like Strom Thurmond. And after he said that shit, it went public, and people were like, Strom Thurmond? Are you fucking serious? And they lit his ass up over it, and Trent Lott had to go and apologize on BET. Right? Which is hilarious. Right? Right? And the joke that David Cross says, and he's impersonating Trent Lott, right? Like, he's impersonating like a ridiculous version of Trent Lott, which is probably not even that ridiculous. And he was like, Trent Lott, he goes, Trent Lott had to be on BET? He was like, Trent Lott probably didn't even know BET existed. He's like, what? The niggers got their own TV station, right? That's a funny joke because it's making fun of a bigot named Trent Lott. It's not making fun of black people. That is like one of the only times it's acceptable. And like, that joke is funny to me. I'm sorry. It is. Like, it is. And I will hold to that. That's a funny ass joke. And if you hear him tell it, he's way funnier than me. It's a fucking hilarious joke because Trent Lott is a ridiculous person. And for Trent Lott to have to go on BET is fucking hysterical. But that's it. Those are the only two times. Joe Rogan saying it on a goofball podcast is not the same. It's not.
No, and that's what also made it not to, I mean, we swerved into the Joe Rogan discourse, but like, you know, comedians coming out of the woodwork to defend him. He wasn't being a comedian at that point in time. Like, he was being Joe Rogan, quote-unquote, intellectual.
Right. Like, so. And also, by the way, the best part of that, the reason why I said the apology is the funniest part to me, is that he's like, oh, it's all taken out of context. But, like, yo, there's a clip in there where he's like, yo, we were talking about Planet of the Apes, then we went to this movie theater in Harlem, and we were in the Planet of the Apes. Gee, Joe, what's the context of that one? What's the context? Like, I saw people, this guy on Twitter was like, well, he's probably talking about, you know, like, Planet of the Apes, like, it was a bunch of different culture, and then this is like a bunch of different people, it's like a different culture. I was like, you aren't that stupid. You don't compare black people to fucking apes. Dude, you don't. Period. There is no conversation where that's
acceptable. I mean, Jay, to be fair, like, that's never happened in history, right? Like, right, no one's ever made...
Yeah. Come on, knock that shit off. Yeah, like that's like literally what was it? Sports Illustrated, I think, had the picture of like LeBron James holding a white woman in a basketball, and it's like comparable to like this very famous like political ad of an ape holding a white woman, like, you know, King Kong, and people are like, "What the fuck, dude?" And they were like, "Yeah, we fucked up on that. My bad.
Yeah, our bad.
Our bad on that. Like, yeah, dude, it's not cool. It's not cool."
But again, this is where we're at, because the mainstream media has tried so very hard to. I mean, for fuck's sake, like, this week CNN hired fucking Jonah Goldberg to do to be a fucking pundit for them. Formerly of National Review, Jonah Goldberg, who's a fucking asshole.
I got into an argument on Twitter with him once. He'll write back
like that dude's a living bad take machine. But they need him there because we need to appear fair and balanced. And right. Fair and balanced doesn't mean covering the truth is the truth. It means having as many of their guys as we have of these other guys and letting them fight in the ring together. Like the whole Jeff Sucker thing. Like I heard a quote about like when during 2016 and kind of his purview of that. That kind of arose in the resignation that he had to do. But like he literally saw what they were doing on CNN primetime with their fucking panels of, you know, half Democrats and half Republicans as like primetime drama on TV. Like that was his fucking mindset. You're doing political coverage and you're worried about the dramatic optics of what you're presenting. Then you're not a news organization at this point, my man. You're a fucking entertainment channel at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it's just infotainment. That's all it
right.
is.
And
you don't understand because, the damage that you're doing to democracy.
Right. And because that happens, we have, again, like President Norm Break, which is what we just, you know, went through for the last 4 years, doesn't seem that normal or doesn't seem that abnormal.
Right.
Because we don't cover it like it's abnormal. Like there are some people that do. Like obviously like Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes and Lawrence O'Donnell call that shit out.
Right.
But, you know. They're also not the news technically. They are opinion.
Yeah.
Like you need your news anchors calling that shit out.
And often, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have to keep banging on these things because people like one of Maddow's greatest things about her is if you listen, like. People who just listen for the first time, they don't really get her style. They're like, oh, there's a lot of fucking like. Build up to this story.
Why does the A block take 30 minutes?
Right, because they're just like hit the news.
Yeah.
But she back does
in 1979, there was a prospector in San Francisco named
you're like, Skipper what?
McGee.
How the hell did we get here? Right? Like, exactly.
This is the same as the Afghanistan withdrawal. Like, what the fuck? Like, how did we get here?
But one, she's fucking brilliant, right? But like, what she does is she builds a story. And that's a lot of that's how people retain information. And if you listen to her, she repeats things, right? When she wants to hit on something, she's like, "Did you catch that? Boom, 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 boom." And she hits it like four times. And if you just listen for the first time, you're like, "Why the fuck do people listen to this?" But when you listen for a while, you realize, "Holy shit." And you start to talk about this stuff on her show, you realize how much you can regurgitate because you realize how much you've actually retained. You can't do that on the news because they're just like, bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, bullet point. Like, that's not, you can't retain shit. You can't.
The city's on fire every night. Everything's going to shit. It's terrible.
Right. But you have to, like, that narrative building way of presenting the news is powerful. And it's a really good way of doing it. And if you notice, a lot of the other Maddow clones do the same thing. Reed does it. Chris Hayes does it. Like they do, they have their own style to it, right? And I like them. I don't, when I say clones, I don't mean that as a negative, but like it's like Black Maddow, male Maddow, right? Like it kind of is. But I like all three of them. I do. Because I like their style of telling the news. But that style of that repeat and that narrative, storytelling is really powerful. And that's why their listeners are some of the most informed people watching the news. That's a fucking fact. They are. Because they've compared like people who watch those shows versus and even like people who watch The Daily Show versus people who watch Fox News. And a lot of Fox News people couldn't tell you jack shit about what's happening in the world. They couldn't tell you jack shit. Because one, their news comes through the filter of like what's best for the fucking Republican Party, not what's reality. Mm-hmm. Like, look, getting back to the whole thing with Trump and the sort of silence from the GOP, there is everything they do is out of bad faith, dude. Like, none of it is honest and reasonable. It's not.
Which is why it drives me nuts that, again, the media still falls for this hook, line, and sinker. And again, I'm not talking about Fox. Fox is going to run, you know, is going to work simpatico with the Republican Party. Like, that's just kind of how it fucking works. But, like, you – MSNBC was talking about Hillary's emails nonstop. CNN was talking about Hillary's emails nonstop. Right. Like everyone was talking about that, even though the position that it was coming from. And again, it was obvious that's the position that it was coming from, because we literally saw the Benghazi hearings for the previous several years before that. Yep. Like, it's not like that this was coming out of left field. Like, this is the drum that they had been beating for years and years and years. And just when the stakes got ratcheted up, then everyone, you know, started carrying the football extra heavy.
Right.
When, like you said, the GOP didn't even fucking care. It was just a talking point. It was just something to hit her with. That's it.
Yep.
That's all it was.
I mean, when's the last time you heard build the wall? Just a talking point.
Yeah. Caravans coming from Mexico.
All these people who needed that wall built. It was their number one problem. Build a wall. Fucking do it, bro. They don't even say shit about it anymore. It's not because Trump's out of office. They don't give a fuck. They don't care. You know, they never care.
But Jay, he did build the wall. To hear him.
Oh, right. That's right. He finished it.
Yeah.
These people are fucked.
Where is it? It's there. It's an invisible wall.
Yeah.
It's keeping all the Mexicans out. Right. So effective that Joe Biden's border patrol is seizing more drugs at the border than ever before, which is proof that the immigration policy of the Biden administration doesn't work, because they're seizing all the drugs. Jay,
like,
square that circle for me.
Wait, isn't that your boy? Didn't your boy write that? Which senator? You're like, yeah, he's like the worst on Twitter. what's his face?
Chuck Grassley?
Yeah, Chuck Grassley. Yeah, wasn't Chuck Grassley the one?
That was a Republican talking point for a minute. Is like when they announced that, like, oh, like, you know, record number of seizures at the border, and Republicans were like, see, Joe Biden's terrible on fucking border control, and we're like, they're seizing the drugs though. Like, it's not like the drugs are making it into the country. Like, yeah. They're like, oh, you have the drugs here at the border, we're gonna take those from you now. Like, that's effective.
It's what they're supposed to do.
You idiots.
Yeah. Yeah.
You fucking morons.
But people will go, yeah, see, you're right. Like, they don't even think about it. Like, they're just repeat, retweet. Like, they're not even thinking about it.
Yeah.
Next up. Hello, Jerry. It's me, Mander.
I'm upset that you titled this what you titled it, because I would have titled it Thugs of News Save the Democratic Party. Is what I would have titled it.
You know what? Run with it, Brad. Run with it.
Because we've been talking about how if you can't stop gerrymandering at the source, like if you're not going to be able to stop gerrymandering at the state legislators, in these like purple and red states, then you fight fire with fire, baby.
They want to play
the gerrymander game. We'll gerrymander with the best of them. Then you want to see how fun gerrymandering is? Let's see how fucking fun it is. When you're fucking losing, you know, 5 seats in New York State, when Maryland's holding on to a 9-1 Democratic advantage, could be 10-0, just saying, guys, could be 10-0, but you know, we're holding with that 9-1, you know, we're getting fucking districts in Ohio, we're getting fucking districts in North Carolina. You want to play the gerrymandering game? We'll fucking gerrymander. Let's do it. Fucking go.
And
now
that's
Republicans are crying about gerrymandering. Oh, this is unfair. Like, oh no shit, is it?
Hey, here's
to tell you guys for the last decade.
Nothing is better in this article. That this is in the New Republic, right? Very good article. The New Republic spends most of the article shitting on the Washington Post editorial board. They're like, oh, but the Washington Post editorial board says gerrymandering from Democrats isn't fair. But they've never said anything about Republicans because they're hypocritical pieces of shit. Like, they just rip into them the whole time. It's awesome. And they're right. This is what you're supposed to do. You can point to commission. It says, sure you can point to commission maps in Arizona, Iowa, Montana, or Maryland Dems who didn't pursue the 8-0 gerrymander that Steny Hoyer wanted. However, like California, New Jersey, Michigan, Ohio, Alabama, New York, and North Carolina all went in Democrats' favor as far as new gerrymandered districts. Look, I tweeted about this. Wasserman had tweeted something out, and I retweeted him. This ain't nothing to fucking sneeze at, man. Like, Democrats are putting themselves in a position.
Might have saved the fucking house.
They might have saved the house, yeah. They might have. So, yeah, like you said, I believe Republicans are losing two seats, likely to lose two seats in New York, which isn't good for them. Our boy, Tad Cadworth, his district is in limbo right now because they're pretty sure they don't know how they're going to redistrict it, right?
Like, not only that, but the North Carolina election board was like, like, if he participated in the insurrection, we can bar him from running, actually. We're going to take a look at it.
I don't think it'll happen, but...
No, I don't either, but...
But I want it to happen.
Pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, but look, the threat of it is important, right? Like, don't fuck around, dude. And I think other states should take a similar stance if they can. Look, GOP
when you go, I remember this is the money quote that everyone brings up because it's fucking famous. But I can't remember who they were talking to in North Carolina. But in 2010, when North Carolina redrew their political maps and they made it a 10-3. Gerrymander for the Republicans, they asked the person that was in charge of that process, why did you draw a 10-3 map for Republicans? And his answer was, because I couldn't figure out a way to make it 11-2.
That was the fucking,
this is the game that they've wanted to play. Now they're upset because it's being played in there because we're bringing the gun to the gunfight instead of a fucking switchblade.
Yeah. And by the way, if I was Maryland, full run.
Oh, I would have fucking rocked that 8-0. Are you kidding me? Yeah, this is bullshit. You know what? Well, go fuck yourself. Hogan would be like, I'm vetoing it. Legislature would be like, cool.
Go ahead. Veto it. See what happens. You don't have any power here. Get the fuck out of here. Like, gerrymander this shit till it hurts them until you bring them to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I know what Republicans will do. Republicans will bitch and complain. The Democrats say they want to end gerrymandering, but look at how hypocritical they are. And what is that? That is a fact without context. The context is they are doing it because you are doing it, and it is the only way to stay competitive. So if you want it to be fair, and Democrats have asked you to make it fair to get rid of all gerrymandering across the country, just get rid of gerrymandering across the country, dude.
Yeah, just have every state give it to an independent board. That's all you have to do. Like, it's not fucking hard.
Right. Well,
not a fucking hard thing to figure out.
This article even suggested another thing, which I thought was interesting. Basically, have each state, like, at least if I understand this right, I'm not a smart man. But I think what they were basically suggesting is Democrats, you put up your, like, five people. You're five people who would be representatives of that state, right? Republicans, you put up your five. Then they just, you know, they have a third party, like you said, as a third party draw the districts. And proportionally, Democrats get, you know, if Democrats get 55% of the vote, then they get, you know, 55% of the districts versus.
Which is how it should work, by the way.
That's how it should work.
Like, it's supposed to be proportional representation. So I don't understand why we would have this fucking argument in the first place. Like, if your party won 45% of the vote, there's no logical reason that you should control, you know, 70% of the districts in the state.
Yeah. I mean, they talked about, I'm trying to remember, like, they talk about, Justice John Roberts referring to, efficiency gap arguments raised by partisan gerrymandering lawsuits as sociological gobbledygook. And I'm like, dude, fuck right off. He's like, they should just learn to beat, just win elections outright. And they're like, yeah, that's all fine and good. But what does it say? He tried doing so as a Democrat in Wisconsin, where the GOP wins 2/3 of the state's legislative seats with just half of the statewide vote.
Wisconsin was the state that I was thinking of specifically. Right.
They get two thirds of the fucking seats, yeah. But they won with just half the votes. How? That doesn't make any sense. Shit. In Virginia, Democrats lost the state house for a while. I don't know if they still have lost it. And they had the majority votes. Like they had like over 50, like 55% of the state votes, but yet somehow they lost the control of the House, the state House, because of gerrymandering. That's bullshit. They won more than half of the fucking votes. They should own more than half the fucking seats. It doesn't.
I'll go one further. Like it's one thing. Like if you want to wait for the census every 10 years to be able to adjust like representation amounts from state to state, like that makes sense because the census is a huge undertaking.
Yeah, that's
and
fine.
Also like doing it every election would not show appreciable changes. Like you have to look at it over a wider span of time. But there's no reason why you can't redraw the maps every election. There really isn't. Like and that's like you can do it based on like we said, proportional representation, so that you can adjust things with how the state is voting, or like how the constituency in the state is actually voting from election to election. So like if Republicans like have a, you know, hugely representative, you know, election, like you can draw so that they're more properly represented. Like that, right. That seems fair to me. So
right. I just, the arguments for allowing Republicans to gerrymander, but getting upset that Democrats are doing the same, obviously doesn't make any sense. But again, Democrats are doing it because they want to force their Republicans' hand and force them to the table to negotiate getting rid of gerrymandering. Look, whatever you think of gerrymandering, whatever you think of Republicans, whatever you think of Democrats, here's an easy way to tell who is being honest, an honest broker here. The people who are saying, why don't we just make it so that we battle on the ideas and not battle on some fucking bullshit carved out thing where you're getting rid of the vote of minorities and you're increasing the amount of white voters, in the suburban white voters that vote for you or whatever group. Whoever is trying...
Or you're diluting minorities, essentially, is usually how gerrymandering works. They'll take these heavily concentrated urban centers or like, you know, minority populations and just break them up to in blocks where their voting power is not significant. Essentially.
Right, right. Or because there's like, I forget, it's like cracking and some other thing, right? Where it's like
cracking and stacking is
cracking the, and stacking, right? Because like the other thing is to make a district all super black, so all the black people are there and nowhere else in the state. so they can like don't affect anything else, right? So they do that as well. So the idea of who is being more honest and genuine, the people who are trying to get it so that why don't we just have people vote, or the people who are trying to keep it so that it's like, well, maybe we could just kind of rig this part and rig this part, right? But you have to understand the context in which Democrats are doing it, right? This is the bad faith arguments. This is the misnomer of the media that they will just say, well, both sides are doing it and that's it. But that's not it. They're doing it because it cannot literally compete because everything is rigged so badly through gerrymandering already. So in order to compete, they're doing this because they're trying to force you to come to the table to get rid of gerrymandering. One wants to get rid of it. One doesn't. It's that easy. It's that simple. Come on now. Like, it's not hard to understand. But people pretend to be obtuse on purpose a lot of the time. This links back into an earlier story that we had talked about. Ron DeSantis signals that he'd be open to making Florida an anti-gay hellhole. As
by the way, I just have to say for the record, I'm really upset that we seem to be falling into this world where there's a weekly Ron DeSantis story.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Like he's almost filling the void of Trump. Like, I don't know that we have a weekly Trump story every single week, but it sure seems like we have a weekly Ron DeSantis story. By the way, this picture of Ron DeSantis that's in this article, in the Vanity Fair article here, he looks like he's photoshopped into the picture.
He does,
like, it doesn't look like he's actually in the picture.
No, he looks like he's somewhere in hell, honestly. which I assume is Florida. I don't know. Probably Tallahassee, maybe. Yeah, so the Republican governor offered a tacit endorsement of what's being dubbed the Don't Say Gay bill, which would ban talk of gender identity and sexual orientation in the state's primary schools. You guys still think they're both the same? Both parties are the same? Really? Really? I don't get it. we're not gonna mention that gay people exist to kids. Like this is the solution to what? To what?
So basically, Florida's trying to incorporate "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" in schools, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. like my daughter is not of primary school age, but she soon will be. She has a book called The Gay BCs, and it is A through Z with each letter representing, you know, some word in, you know, sort of LGBTQ plus culture, right? You know, G is for gay, A is for ally, that sort of thing. You know how much it affects her? Zero. Like, it doesn't, dude. It's just a book. And she's like, oh, okay, cool. And we're like, you know, sometimes people are, you know, some girls like girls and some guys like guys and some girls like guys and, you know, some guys like girls. She's like, all right, fuck. Like,
well, and that's the thing. So if you in the GOP were truly a ally of that community, it would be the best way. It seems to me the best way to help incorporate those folks into society as with as much equity as possible is to, I don't know, normalize their existence to people. And the easiest way to do that is from young people growing up understanding that it's okay that gay people exist. It's okay that bisexual and queer and trans people exist. Like it seems to me that'd be a real easy way to fucking do it. But again, you have people that still have issues with these folks and want to do everything they can to make their lives fucking miserable, which, you know, just, again, much like getting a black guy in the White House didn't end racism, getting gay marriage legalized didn't get rid of anti-LGBTQ fucking bigotry either.
No. And we have a gay Secretary of Transportation, and it's still not over. Shocking fucking news. Can you believe it? I just don't. I don't get this. Like, I can understand, and understand does not mean agree. I can understand being like, well, I don't know about this gay marriage. Like, I don't know if that should be legal. Like, I understand Republicans' moronic perspective on that. To just not mention gay people? Yo, they're not Voldemort. They're not going to disappear if you don't mention them. It's Florida, dude. Gay people live in Florida, man. Like, come on. Like, it's just stupid. You're also setting your kids up to be complete ignoramuses in life.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I mean, like, when you hear stuff, when you gay hear stuff people like exist, this,
like, yeah, yeah, Joe Bob is 2035. You just finding out? Like, sorry, man. I lived in Florida my whole life. I didn't know that. I had no idea.
I mean, this is what happens when your state capital's on the fucking panhandle and not, you know, in civilized country down in that fucking state. That just goes to show you how they also get like why the Republican Party is like the book burning party now. Because this just kind of goes back to they're afraid of ideas. Like evangelicals forever have been like afraid, like, oh, like if you say gay, or like if I'm around gay people, it's gonna turn me gay. Like, I don't want, like, that can't fucking happen. Spoiler alert, evangelicals. A lot of closet gay folks in your community as well. If you haven't learned that over the course of the last couple of years.
Right. Well, yeah, and also just as a personal aside, you know, hanging out with people who are different than you does not give you their traits. Otherwise, I'd be a lot fucking taller, okay? Because I know, like, a lot of tall people, and it hasn't worked yet. It hasn't worked yet.
And I'd be a lot blacker, so.
Yeah, you would be. You would be.
hasn't rubbed off, so.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird how that doesn't work. Look, I wish it did. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. But no, I am still 5'9", and those guys are still well over 6 feet tall. Actually, maybe they're shrinking. Maybe it's going the other way. Maybe that's the problem. Slowly over time.
Yeah, but like I said, when you know, coming from the party that's simply afraid of ideas existing around them.
And in this case, they're actually afraid of human beings existing. Like, what is your problem? But, you know, Ron DeSantis sucks, man. Like, he's not good. And whether I mean, I don't know if he's anti-gay or not, but I think he has aspiration. Like, personally, I don't know. But he definitely has aspirations for higher office. So I guess he figures this is the only way he can do that.
Oh, 1,000%. Absolutely. Yes. And that's the other thing, that like the fact that he is literally like the number two, like most likely Republican to become president behind Trump, mm-hmm. is mind-boggling to me, because he's not, as we've talked about on the show many times before, he does not have the Trump qualities of charisma.
Like, no, he's just dumb. Sucks. Yeah. No, he's just dumb. But I think they like that. I think they kind of like it. Like, he's just kind of a dummy.
Does that tie back to the whole fucking, like, the stupid diner, like, oh, you get a beer with that guy, fucking
yeah, persona, I think so.
that people seek in all politicians for some reason?
Well, I think it's like, if you're dumb and you don't like being talked down to,
yeah,
the best thing you can do is find someone who's also dumb, because then you feel like you feel validated, right? I think, you know, I saw this conservative on TikTok who was like, you know, Joe Biden is like so fucking stupid, and I'm like, you guys voted for Donald Trump. Like, Donald Trump is dumb. Like, he's a legitimate dumb person. He doesn't know shit about anything. Like, he just blusters his way through things. Like, you guys equate intelligence with money, but like, that's not what intelligence is. He's a fucking idiot. You can tell anytime he's asked anything legit and real to have to riff on. He doesn't have intelligence. Yeah. He can't.
The corollary is he's literally the kid in the classroom who gets called on, who obviously didn't read the assignment, but he's trying to just fucking BS his way through it.
Yeah. And I'm very, 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 very happy to be here. Very good, Donald. Your report was exactly 100 words. Like, that's him. That's him. That's him. So, yeah.
It's that goes back to Joe Rogan. Like, Joe Rogan very much is a dumb person's idea of what a smart person looks like, essentially. Like, that's what Joe Rogan
absolutely.
Is. And that's why he has such a following, because there's people that are dumber than him that are just like, oh, that's what a smart person does. They're always just challenging things and asking questions constantly.
So, yeah, but they're doing it from a perspective of, like, intelligence and, like, knowing things. Not just being like, wrong. Or, like, what was that clip where he's with the doctor and the doctor's like, no, that's not right. And he's like, I think it is right. And then the doctor pulls up, like, they pull up a data and it's like, the doctor's right. He's like, doesn't it feel like it should be wrong? Like, all right, guys, that's not how the world works, Joe. Just say you were wrong, dude. Just say you were wrong, because you were wrong. He's a fucking idiot. All right, let's jump to the greatest political ad ever. This guy, where is this guy out of?
Louisiana. He's Louisiana. John Kennedy, is John Kennedy up this year?
Yes.
Because he's running for Senate, so.
Yeah, this guy's running against John Kennedy. This is the greatest political ad ever. 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 Okay, period. Here you go. This black man is also the bravest black man of all time, by the way.
Don't play the clip yet. I just wanna get everyone's expectations set here. First of all, if you're not watching this on video, you should,
you're gonna need to see it.
But so on this show, I think we are of same mind, all three of us, that probably the best line that we've heard in a political ad was that Ed Markey ad from last election, where it's like they may tell me where to sit, but nobody tells me where to stand.
Yeah, it's a great line.
I think there's a line in this that may trump the Ed Markey line.
All right, here we go.
Said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. But here in Louisiana and all over the South, Jim Crow never really left, and the remnants of the Confederacy remain. In 1873, when a black man named P.B.S. Pinchback won a U.S. Senate race, he was never seated. They claimed election fraud. The attacks against black people, our right to vote, and participate in this democracy are methodical. Gerrymandered districts are a byproduct of the Confederacy. Our system isn't broken. It's designed to do exactly what it's doing, which is producing measurable inequity. 1 in 13 black Americans are deprived of the right to vote. 1 in 9 black Americans do not have health insurance. One in three black children live in poverty. It's time to burn what remains of the Confederacy down. I do believe the South will rise again, but this time, it'll be on our terms. I'm Gary Chambers, and I'm running for the U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Good night, everybody. God damn. And if you were just listening, he burned a Confederate flag in the fucking ad.
Literally while he's talking, he takes a Confederate flag, hangs it on a clothesline, douses it in gasoline, and then lights that fucking thing on fire.
Ah, look, I love the energy, man. I love the energy. I love it.
Big time Django energy going on in that ad.
Yeah, a lot of that.
With like the Western, like the Enrico Morricone soundtrack in the background.
Dude, it was perfect.
Like so I said.
It quite possibly is a perfect ad.
Again, I do believe the South will rise again, but this time it'll be on our terms.
Yeah. I mean, I also like the burn the Confederacy down. I was like, I just get that tattooed right on my back. No, look, that's a powerful ad, man. That's a powerful ad. And it's a powerful ad not just because of the burning of the Confederate flag, though that's a pretty big one. It's a powerful ad because, like, that dude is, like, I don't know if you recognize him, but he did something that went viral not too long ago.
Oh, he was the guy that walked into the...
It was like a school board or whatever. State board. And he lit into those people over there, like, racist behavior. And that shit went viral. Like, that dude is a force. Like, he is a fucking absolute force. And it was dope to watch that. It really was. Yeah, look, man, I think this ad is dope. Like, I think it's super powerful. It's powerful coming from... this guy in particular. And I think it's not mealy mouth. And I like that. Like, I like the strength of it. And you don't have to, like, you only have to watch that ad once to be like, what's this guy's perspective? Like, you don't have to guess at all. And I love it, man. I love it. I like how fearless it is. And it, dude, it's dangerous. It's also dangerous, right? But not like, he's a danger. I mean, he's putting himself in danger by doing that. But that's, I mean, God damn, that ad is like, that is absolutely like balls to the wall. And I respect the shit out of it, man.
It's interesting, right? Because like, obviously like Kennedy, whoever he's running against is going to try to hit him with that. Like they're going to use that imagery and be like, but that puts you in a fucking box, man, because then you're just opening him up to be like, yeah, like, guess what? Fucking Confederacy lost 170 years ago, and here's all this bullshit. Like, here's the actual legacy of that institution. Like, you guys are going to sit here and it's like, oh, it's states' rights. To do what? What was it the states' rights to do that was the right that was, right. That I was mean, in question?
This presents an interesting thing, right? Like, this might be a debate if John Kennedy even actually debates the guy. Because, like, you know, well, a lot of Republicans
assuming Gary Chambers, like, wins a primary election, because that's, I don't know who else is running on the Democratic side, but it's not like he's guaranteed
to
fucking get that. So.
He's not. But he's got some wind behind his sails, right? Because he's, like, going viral is a big thing, and now he's going to go viral twice, right? Like, we still live in that age where that does matter. Sometimes it matters more than almost anything. But if he does get to debate John Kennedy, like, he has a unique opportunity to do something that Democrats almost never do, which is they are always terrified. Like, they'll say, like, oh, we got to fight for equality or, you know, and all this other stuff and, you know, knock down these things the Confederacy is out. They'll say that shit. But when they get on the stage, they won't back it. Like, they won't. They'll get like, oh, well, we got to, like, work together. Like, this guy doesn't. He don't feel like that to me. Like, he feels like he's the guy who's going to be like, you throw that shit at my feet, I pick it up and I throw it right in your face. Like, that's the type of Democrat people want. They want to see people who can fight. That's a guy who looks like he's ready to fight. And I like that. I like that fucking energy. On the other side, Brad.
Let's say on the other side of the political ad spectrum. So here is our beloved governor, Lawrence Hogan.
Lawrence.
This ad has the biggest, like, tell me you're running for president without telling me you're running for president ad, but it's so fucking Larry Hogan. It defies explanation.
I put down that other guy had the greatest political ad ever. I put down that this is not the greatest political ad ever. Like, I don't know where it exists in the pantheon of political ads, but it is 100% not the greatest. It is awful, in my opinion. So let's look at Larry Hogan definitely running for president, but like you said, trying to like pretend like maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Look, it's, you know what this ad should be called? Larry Hogan, cock tease. That's what it should be called. Like, that's what it is.
George Washington warned that partisanship would create a spirit of revenge that would undermine the reins of government and lead to the ruins of public liberty. In this historic place, where the founding principles of American democracy were born, where Francis Scott Key wrote of a flag that was still there, where Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman forged the path to freedom, where Thurgood Marshall fought for equal justice under the law, we still believe in the power of coming together to change things for the better. And we still believe that what unites us is greater than that which divides us. To those who say that America is too divided, I would argue that we have already shown a better path forward. Let's continue to set an example for the rest of the nation so that America can once again be a shining example to the world. May God bless the great state of Maryland and the United States of America.
Boo, boo, tomato, tomato, I mean, tomato.
It's the most fucking milquetoast fucking ad you've ever seen, because it's Larry Hogan. Ugh. Like, hey, let's show Larry Hogan standing at a podium with a long hallway behind him, because that's imagery that we definitely want to evoke. Let's show Larry Hogan being tough and being a strong leader. Let's intercut it with all these images of George Washington and Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman and fucking, you know, Fort McHenry. And
do you know that Larry Hogan knows black people? Famous ones. Yeah, we got it, dude. Frederick Douglass. Like, all right. Relax.
Yeah.
I think America United.
Yeah, and America United, like, it's good that there it's going to be Hogan 24 and America United. That's essentially what that's going to be. This is nothing but a fucking very not subtle trial balloon that he's floating up in the air. And to which I say to Larry Hogan, there's a tweet reply below this Twitter, the tweet that he sent out on this that says, "I can't wait to see you finish eighth in Iowa."
Yeah, you're going to get your head stomped in, you know. Politically. I'm not trying to, like, no bad imagery. But, no, he's going to get his ass kicked. You know why? Because this guy believes that the Republican Party is full of reasonable people. They're not.
Yep.
They don't want an America united. They want an America divided, dude. They hate the fact that we're all together. I mean, look, part of me fucking hates it, too. Yeah. These people in the party, they stink. But the Republican Party is run by maniacs, right? This ties into what we were talking about with Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell and Larry Hogan are intelligent guys. Whatever you think of their politics, they are intelligent guys, and they are used to running in a party of other reasonable, intelligent people who are garbage, right? They're garbage, but they're at least reasonably intelligent people. That doesn't exist anymore. You're talking about a Republican Party that hasn't existed really for 30 years. Like, 40 years, really. Like, that party is dead. What you have now is a husk of its former self. Start a new party, dude. Just start a new party. Your party is dead. And you're going to find that out when you come in eighth, if you're lucky in Iowa. If you're lucky. What other lunatics are going to run? Ron DeSantis? Donald Trump?
Yeah, but I say he might finish fourth by default. Like he might get the, like, oh, Martin O'Malley finished third in the Iowa caucus.
Right, because, like, there were four people running. Right. Yeah. Oh, congratulations. Jim Webb was the other guy, and he talked about murdering someone in the first debate. Okay? Never fucking forget that. There was a guy who threw a grenade at me, and that's the last we saw of him. Wait, what?
What if that does happen? Like, I don't know if you remember this, the picture from, like, an Iowa newspaper that had the three of them at the Iowa caucus, and it was like Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and unidentified man.
Oh, damn.
And like, watch Hogan get the same fucking treatment. Like, if he ends up like next to Trump.
I don't see how he could make any inroads into that party. He's banking on that sort of neocon Cheney style level of representation. It just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Dude, and they again, ran like Liz Cheney out of the fucking party.
The whole reason they ran around is because there's enough people around him that are like, bro, you won a Democratic state twice in a statewide election. Like you can be the guy. You really can't be the guy.
No. Maryland ain't the country, dude.
It's no. Not. Far from it.
Far from it. Yeah. Like, no, he's gonna get the shit kicked out of him in Iowa. And look, I'm gonna enjoy watching that. I am. I'm gonna enjoy the shit out of watching. And you and I talked about this previously before we started recording, and you're absolutely right. He's terrible at reading off a teleprompter. He's awful at it. He doesn't have that fucking charisma. Look, the Republican Party at this point is all id, man. It's like, do I feel it? Do I feel like this guy is like representing me, or does this guy seem stiff? He doesn't have it. He don't have it.
And that's the other thing. Like, I feel like Larry Hogan would be a guy that would go up there talking about some policy bullshit, and they ain't trying to hear that anymore. Again, the fucking party's platform policies. Is just like whatever this guy wants to do, like pointing to Donald Trump. Like, sure. Like he's gonna try to be like the common sense Republican candidate, and realize very quickly that ain't what that party want. That is not what those voters want anymore. That it is now ruined. They all they want is the cult of personality guy that they can, yep. That, like you said, it's all that they can get behind, that they can just feel good about voting for, essentially.
The guy that's gonna
trigger the libs. That's all they
that's
want.
It.
How will you trigger the libs if we elect you?
You're right. That might, excuse me, Mr. Hogan, my first question. Upon the policy of triggering the libs, where do you stand? What are some of your ideas? Policies?
I don't know if you guys saw, but the libs were so triggered in my state that they threw a statue of Christopher Columbus into the inner harbor. Like, that's how triggered I made them. Like, you had nothing to do with that, Larry Hogan.
Right. And then remember when conservatives pulled the statue out and then Christopher Columbus's head fell off? Pretty triggered. That actually did happen. It's one of the greatest things that happened in modern Baltimore history. Black people just were like, you know what? Fuck Christopher Columbus. And they dragged him from Little Italy and threw him in the harbor.
Which is a couple blocks away.
It's a couple of blocks, dude.
For those not familiar with Baltimore, downtown Baltimore geography.
Yeah, it's a couple blocks, yo. I'm sure that statue was not light. They were just like, drag his ass and threw him in the fucking harbor. God damn. I remember when that happened. I was like, this is beautiful. I love my city. At that moment, I was never prouder to be from a shithole state, as Trump would likely call it.
Yeah,
shithole city.
A little piece of Haiti in America is talking.
Yes, of course, Tucker Carlson would say, because Haiti and Baltimore have one thing in common? What could it be? I don't know. Probably the same as the Planet of the Apes fucking comment from Joe Rogan, right? Just quickly in This Week in Stupid. Trump attacks Biden's competency in a press release, and he spells incompetent wrong. It's not a lot to the story. It's just funny.
Oh, and they said irony was dead.
No, it's not dead. It's not dead. Yeah, like...
Oh, man.
Again, these guys, man, they are dumb. Like, they are dumb. Like, you have spell checkers. Like, just hit spell. Like, remember, like under Trump, they had mad things that they would release that were spelled wrong. I'm like, yo, you have spell check. How?
Do you think that he allowed anyone to actually vet the things that he wrote out?
That's a good point. Yeah,
there's no way he let anyone take a pass at that. Because even if he did, who's going to tell him you fucked up?
Nah, you don't say nothing. Nah, you got it, Mr. President. You the shit. You fucking got it.
Wow. That's fantastic, though. I love it.
Next up, I'm just going to run the clip. You don't need to click on anything, Brad. I'm just going to run the clip. Here you go.
Not only do we have the D.C. jail, which is the D.C. gulag, but now we have Nancy Pelosi's gazpacho police spying on members of Congress, spying on the legislative work that we do, spying on our staff, and spying on American citizens that want to come talk to their representatives. This government has turned into something it was never meant to be, and it's time to make it end.
The
I'm gonna run it again, Brad.
We have the DC jail, which is the DC gulag, but now we have Nancy Pelosi's gazpacho police spying on members of Congress, spying on the legislative work that we do, spying on our staff, and spying on American citizens that want to come talk to their representatives. This government has turned into something it was never meant to be, and it's time to make it end.
That woman is an idiot. That woman is a moron.
Oh, my God.
Brad, I don't know about you, man, but I am sick and tired of Nancy Pelosi in this cold tomato soup place.
You know that when the gazpacho police investigate Jay, it's always a cold case.
I like it. This is not my joke, but I thought it was pretty good. What a dumb bisque. I thought it was pretty good.
I feel bad for her. No, I don't. What the fuck am I saying? Congratulations, Marjorie Taylor Greene, because you are heretofore forever referred to as the soup Nazi now. Fucking Congress.
Yeah, that's it.
You're not getting past that.
No, you're not.
Holy shit.
Dude.
And the thing that's so funny, it's not like she stumbled over her words there.
No,
that's what she thought the word actually was.
Yeah. And she actually thought
it was gazpacho.
And she's definitely used it before. And no one has ever been like, yo, I think you mean Gestapo, not gazpacho. She's like, nah, I got it.
I'm in literal fucking tears, man. I gotta say, I've been really bummed about the fucking political landscape, and not just with what's going on in this country, but like with the fucking Russia kicking up stuff over there and fucking truckers in Canada acting like little piss babies because they have to get vaccines and all that nonsense. This was exactly the levity that we all needed today.
Yes.
To bring a smile, to bring some joy, some laughter, some tears to all of our faces. Crying in her soup, as it were.
No, she is a moron, dude. She is a moron. She's a moron.
A
moron.
She's a legitimately stupid person.
Yeah, she is.
I mean, again, that like Lauren Boebert was out here, you know, last week talking about like, hey, like the framers never would have wanted the Constitution to change. So she's like, oh, I have to get my dumbass crown back.
Nobody's taking this from me. Like, yeah. You got it, sweetheart. Like, don't let us get in your way. It is amazing how stupid she is. Like, it's impressive. Yeah,
that's the term.
What's that?
She thinks that's the term. Like that's the only thing that I'm taking away from this is that she literally thinks that Hitler's secret, you know, fucking police force was called the gazpacho.
Yeah. That's it.
Who do you think the soup was named after, Jay?
Right.
they famously loved cold tomato soup there in Germany.
Yeah, she was like, "See? That's how it came about." Duh. You got it. You fucking idiot.
She's really gonna stew on that for the next couple of days.
Right. We gotta get out of here. Nah, we gotta get out of here, Brad. You gotta relax. You gotta relax. Brad. That's a hell of a run. Marjorie Taylor Greene, hell of a run.
Something to keep us all warm while we're all chilly here during the cold winter here at the door. All right.
My God. Get this man out of here. All right. That, That is it for us. We will see you guys next week with another episode.
See ya.